Hi, Uriel Epstein here, and this is the Renew Democracy Initiative audio newsletter. This week in democracy, Republican-led legislatures across the country are passing laws declaring that federal gun control regulations are invalid, and they aren't going to allow local and state police to enforce them. Sort of like Second Amendment sanctuary cities. Where have we seen that before? And can states just ignore the federal government? After that, American forces continue their withdrawal from Afghanistan, slated to be complete by September 11th of this year. But the Taliban is on the offensive, and Afghan interpreters who helped in the U.S. war effort are being left behind. What does America owe to the Afghan citizens who helped U.S. troops? Here's why you should care. Sitting inside the gun shop, Frontier Justice, on June 12th, Missouri Governor Mike Parsons signed the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which declared federal gun regulations to be invalid in Missouri. The act also prevents state and local officers from assisting federal agents in their enforcement of these laws. Missouri joins eight other states that have passed laws rebuking federal firearm regulations or ordering their law enforcement agencies not to cooperate with federal agents. But can these states actually ignore federal law? That question is almost as old as the Republic, with major disputes dating back to the late 1700s. For more than a century, the issue came up periodically, and the Supreme Court consistently ruled against states' ability to nullify laws, on the grounds that federal law is supreme. So even though the anti-gun control legislation that several state legislatures have passed calls federal regulations invalid, states have no actual authority to nullify them. Still, states aren't entirely powerless to resist federal law. While a state cannot simply nullify a federal law, it can refuse to enforce it. This principle of anti-commandeering dates back to the 1842 Supreme Court decision Prigg v. Pennsylvania, where the justices ruled that local and state law enforcement agencies could not be compelled to enforce the Fugitive Slave Act. Since there are fewer than 2,000 ATF special agents in the entire country, federal gun control regulations cannot actually be upheld without local support. So, what does this mean for American democracy? When state and local governments revert to ignoring national legislation rather than seeking compromise, policy differences become extreme. Sanctuary cities don't just try to protect dreamers from being needlessly deported. They refuse to cooperate with ICE altogether. Meanwhile, Second Amendment sanctuaries don't just resist specific federal gun control measures. They throw them all out and prevent any enforcement agency from upholding them. Principles of nullification and non-enforcement ultimately degrade federalism, weaken the federal government, and promote dissension between states. As a result, these latest attempts to undermine the government's authority will only further divide the country and soil any hope of compromise. Returning to our other story, President Joe Biden is slated to meet with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani on Friday. Afghanistan is in the midst of escalating fighting as the American withdrawal continues and hard-won territories fall to the Taliban. With that escalating violence, America must renew its commitment to saving the Afghans who have risked their lives in order to support our troops. With a full U.S. withdrawal just months away, some 18,000 Afghan interpreters are still waiting on their American visas. With each passing day, it becomes more likely that the vast majority of their visas won't be processed before September 11th, when the American withdrawal is slated to be complete. But why is evacuating these Afghan citizens so important? Well, our failure to take action could result in hundreds or thousands of former interpreters being killed. The resettlement advocacy group No One Left Behind recorded that more than 300 Afghan interpreters have been murdered since 2014 as they waited for their applications to be approved. Abdicating our responsibility in this case would be a colossal moral failure, and would counteract our national interest. As Representative Steve Stivers put it, quote, "What kind of message does that send next time that we go somewhere and ask people to help us if they realize that the people who helped us last time, we turned their backs on them and didn't help them? Through our reluctance to support those who support us, America risks further degrading its claim of being a global force for good. American soft power has always, at least in part, relied on something relatively simple. Benevolence." The Marshall Plan, the Green Revolution, USAID, PEPFAR, and a world-leading refugee resettlement program all promoted others' interests alongside our own, and ultimately ended up benefiting America. Our leadership empowered liberal democracy around the world as global partners opened up to trade, expanded individual freedoms, and accepted a rules-based world order as mutually beneficial to all states. A morality-first foreign policy is an America-first foreign policy. And to turn our backs on this humanitarian obligation is, in the words of Representative Seth Moulton, quote, "playing politics with our national security and with the lives of American heroes." These individuals risked everything to support our troops and rebuild their country. But while Americans get to come home, a resurgent Taliban threatens their lives. Our responsibility is clear, and the solution is simple. Evacuate the Afghan interpreters.